I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We have been singing about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and I'm grateful for that introduction. I want to take the few moments that we have together, and I really believe it is important to help us realize why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Why is this such a key part of Christianity? Why is it so very, very important that God's Spirit dwell among us? I want to remind you that as we've been studying through Galatians, the argument that Paul has been making is justification in the sight of God does not come through the works of the law or through your flesh. It is from the hearing of faith. Your life is begun with the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit in your life. And in the process, Paul has been declaring that the law puts you in bondage, but when you believe by faith, there is freedom. There is freedom in Christ. Now, what might happen in the hearts and minds of some people when they hear such talk, when they would have read such a letter, would have they heard the word bondage and then they heard the word freedom, and in their minds now they have a license to live how they want to live. In other words, if I am free in Christ and Christ's grace has clothed me, so I have God's grace upon my life, does that therefore then mean in that freedom I can live however I want to live? Because I'm not in bondage anymore. And so often we like this freedom perspective. And yet, it can be so quickly skewed and so quickly abused. And so what Paul does at the close of his arguments is he now brings into the forefront the Spirit in a believer's life and emphasizes how important that Spirit is, God's Spirit is. As a dad, and as my children are growing up, they have more and more decisions that they're having to make in their life. And I'm finding that they'll come to me and say, you know, Dad, what should I do about this? Or, you know, how do I go about doing this or whatever? And you know what I do? I go back to what my dad did with me. And I disliked it to the core. But what he did was, well, son, what do you think? What do you think you should do? No, Dad, I asked you. Dad, this is your opportunity. Make the decision. I'll do whatever you want. No, son, you make the decision. You do so. My kids don't like it either. Dad, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I think most of us, if we would understand and realize that if we were to constantly just answer every question for our children, if we proverbially took the test for them every time and told them this is what they were to do, in essence, they would become just little dads or moms, just little us. And when just so happened dad and mom is not around, they're lost. They can't do anything. Or they're in such disarray that they make decisions that cause great destruction. I share that with you because in so many ways, the law has guided God's people and brought them up to this point of maturity. This point of realizing, hey, listen, you are a sinner and you cannot be justified in the sight of God because look at this and look at this. You fall short over and over and over again, and the law in and of itself cannot meet the demand. Listen, you don't need this law anymore. What you need is you need to trust and believe in God's Spirit to help you move forward. You know, as we let our children slowly, as we just let them, emphasize slowly, that's what I'm struggling with right now. Just as we let them go, what we're doing as Christian parents is there's this letting go of control, and our prayer is what? That our kids will cling to the Spirit of God, right? That's the transition that we are able as Christian parents to help them walk through. And I'm not saying they don't have the Spirit of God when they get saved. Of course they do, but as parents, we're guiding them along. But there is going to come a point when we are no longer needing to do that, should be doing that, or able to do that. But God provides, God gives His people His Spirit that we might walk on. Because you know what? As people, we like to have clear set boundaries. We like to be able to say, you know, this is clearly what we're supposed to be doing. And you know, it's like, in some senses, for a pastor, all right, if the church gives this real specific outline of the way a service is supposed to be, and they say, Pastor, this is the way we want it to be done. In some senses, there's this comfort in saying, you know what? Okay, I just know what to do. I just do. But when there is no clear direction, and the pastor is, you know, expected to lead the church and guide the church, what happens then? Well, then the pastor, there's this push to trust and rely in the guidance of the Spirit. I'm just telling you something from my perspective, because you as a church, you have in no way told me how to run this church. And not that I'm supposed to run it, but nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying. You haven't laid that upon me. So what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? How many meetings are we supposed to have? What is a service supposed to look like? Right? All this stuff. Well, praise be to God, we have His Spirit living within us that can guide us in our life. You have things in your own life, all right? Young people, big question as you're growing up, what am I going to do after school, right? What's next? You know, in our day, it was, what's the will of God for my life, right? Maybe it's the same question today, right? What is it? And, you know, you have all of these different plans or ideas, or this is what my friends are doing, or this is what my parents want me to do, or whatever it is. But really, when it comes down to it, it's a decision that you need to make. And our prayer is that you don't make this decision alone, but you make it in conjunction with God. It's a decision that you make walking in the Spirit. And this is such a thrill to be able to share this as a pastor, because I in no way can control you, not that I want to. In no way can I guide your life, not that I ever want to or can. But you know what? As we go and separate today from this place, we go unified in the Spirit of God. The very same Spirit is going to guide each and every one of us in our own walk of life this week. And when we gather again, Lord willing, next week, we are going to be able to look back and say that we had the Spirit of God guiding us and helping us in decisions that were made. It is a thrilling part of a relationship with God that is vital, that is real, that live today, right now, moment by moment. You know, Christianity is not meant to be lived by some list of rules, this guidebook, if you will. Christianity is designed to be lived in conjunction with the Spirit of God, who takes the Word of God and guides us with its truth. Now notice, I am not saying that the Bible is not an important part. It is integral to our lives. But the Spirit of God, as we walk with the Spirit, He takes the Word of God and guides us unto all truth. And that's the role, that's why it's so important that we understand the Spirit in our life. That we live in such a way that we realize He's right with us. We don't forget that. Because I admit, we don't talk about the Spirit enough. But the Spirit is a vital part of your life. And so, and you're looking there at Galatians chapter 5, you notice, looking verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." This verse is acting as a hinge, if you will, between what I began in my introduction as this warning of you don't have a license to do whatever, and the exhortation of this is how you ought to live. Looking back at verse 13 of the passage, we see, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." It's almost as if Paul anticipated that there would be some in the church who would take this wrongly. And his warning is, listen, love. Love is the basis and the key to keeping us aligned with God. And it's by no accident that the fruit of the Spirit includes love. In Christ, we've been called to the platform or encampment of liberty. Our flesh is going to want to exploit this liberty. And in exploiting it, we want to serve me. We serve ourselves. So Paul says, therefore, by love, serve one another. And so practically speaking, if as you live your life as a Christian and you are wrestling with what does my life contain, what ought to be doing with my life, if you realize in your liberty that you find yourself serving self, realize and hear this instruction: by love serve one another. If you find yourself biting and devouring others, and by that I don't mean by pulling a Mike Tyson. Sorry for that gruesome reminder. I mean this tearing down of people, devouring them. If this is what is characterizing your life, remember, this instruction, by love, serve one another. But thinking about love, love as it is defined in the Scriptures is Jesus Christ coming to this earth, right? Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so if I am expected to love, in love, serve one another, And this very love is defined by something, by God coming to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. Listen, I have to believe that by faith. It's not something I can necessarily see or touch. And so therefore, the key and the link to this spiritual reality is the Spirit of God in my life. If I'm really going to live out in freedom this life in Christ and do so accurately and in love, then I am going to need to do it in the Spirit. In the passage, verse 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit." Verse 25 of the same passage says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Notice that this passage on walking in the Spirit, on the front side and the back side, are these instructions of, listen, you're going to want to serve yourself. You are not going to be the loving person that you know you should be. So you need to walk in the Spirit. Let's talk just for a moment about this imagery that God uses of walking. In the Bible, God speaks of different people that walked with him. All right, you remember even in the Garden of Eden, it is described and depicted that Adam and Eve walked with God there in the garden. We don't understand that exactly, what that might have been like, but they truly understood his presence. They heard his voice. He was there. And there is this, there's this agreement in presence, if you will, step by step together. Enoch is described, he's one of the patriarchs, and he's one of the unique people in history that never saw death. God just took him. Do you know why God took him? Because he had a testimony that he pleased God. He is known as a person who walked with God. Walked with God. Noah also is known as a person that walked with God. So this perspective of walking in the Spirit evokes within us a unity and a fellowship with the very Spirit of God. And so if we're going to boil this all down and we're going to walk away with some things to really chew on today, then we're going to need to turn our attention now and asking ourselves this question: is my life in the sight of God lived in unity and fellowship with him? Does God look at my life and say that Josh Fetterhoff is walking with me? I want you to note that I'm trying to put it from God's perspective, because, you know, you and I, although Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God, which is a reputation from others, I believe, but nevertheless, God is the ultimate one who determines our life. And so what is God saying about your life? You might say, well, Pastor, how am I supposed to figure that out? The Spirit of God will tell you. See, this is one of the places where I could try to set up a nice form for you to fill out and check these boxes, and by the end of it, you'll be able to add up your score, and you'll be able to say, yes, I'm walking with God, right? I could try that. But that's a horrible failure. When here we are as Christians who have been given the gift of the Spirit living within us, we've been instructed and told to walk in the Spirit. Don't you think he will help us to know and realize what that means. So, this is not a time to close your Bibles. This is a time in your life to have a Bible open and a heart open as you interact and fellowship with God, because God takes the Word of God, the Spirit takes the Word of God and uses it to guide us in our life. And you might say, Pastor, that's weird. That's kind of, you know, I think this is part of this stigma that we think sometimes walking in the Spirit is weird. It's crazy. We sometimes might think that I don't want to appear like I don't even know how to describe it. But you know what, really? Listen, we have to be a people that say, listen, God is at work here. I want to join him in this work. God, help me to know what that looks like. This week, you're going to go to work. You're not going alone, Christian. You're going to sit there in your office, or you're going to be pounding a hammer next to somebody else who, by God's design, knew you were going to be together. And walking in the Spirit says, God, here I am. What does this mean? Here I am. Here they are. What does this mean? You're going to get a phone call this week, and a decision is going to need to be made, and it could be a life-altering decision. And you're going to say, I have no idea what to do. And the option one is to just collapse in desperation, but the option number two that God gives us in his Spirit is to say, listen, cry out to me, and I will help you. I don't know what's going to happen in your life. I don't know what's going to happen in my own life. But the beautiful truth is we've been told to walk in the Spirit. So in other words, God has equipped us for life, whatever it brings. Whatever. Now the text describes for us what the lust of the flesh is, and it talks about what the fruit of the Spirit is, and it talks about the war that goes on, and we're going to talk more about that, but we had a shorter amount of time today, so I felt like this is an important point. Why the Spirit of God? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So are you, am I, walking in the Spirit? Think about this. How often am I exposing myself to the Word of God? It's a good question, because listen, Jesus told his disciples that the Spirit is going to take his words and remind us of them. Doesn't mean you always have to have a Bible in order to make decisions. But it does mean you need to be in the Word, spending time hearing his truth, bathing yourself, showering yourself with his truth regularly. Do you have an appetite for that truth? In God's sight, are you living life in unity, in step with him? So God, thank you for this verse. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Lord, I know there's so much more that can be said on this, but today this message is simple. And I'm just taking a moment, Lord, to soak in its import for me. I know that this week, Lord, I've wrestled with some things in my own heart, my life. I know, you know what I am excited about, Lord, is that you know. Of course you do. Because your Spirit is real. You're in me. And you know the struggles that I have dealt with, and you've convicted me when I've been out of line. even in the songs, the singing today, I noticed truth. God, we are such a busy people. And this world is ruled by Satan, yes, absolutely. And I know he longs to keep us distracted. He wants us to feel alone. But Lord, we're not. We're not alone. And God, may your people hear that again today. We are not alone. And in fact, you've encouraged us to walk in your footsteps, guided by your Spirit and your truth. Thank you, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to take a moment, and if today there's something that's on your heart, and not specifics, but maybe you just want to say, Pastor, would you just pray for me today? And I'm not going to pray by name necessarily, but if you just raise your hand, if you're saying, listen, I got something going on in my life, and I'd love for you to just pray for me today. Is there anybody? Some things going on? Yes. Amen. Good. Is there another? Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. See, listen to what God's doing in your heart right now. He's bringing things up. And listen, we pray, we're engaging here with the Spirit of God. God knows. I don't know what's going on in your life, in your life, in your life. But Lord, the Lord does. And so God, I'm praying for these individuals. God, you know what's going on in their hearts. You know, Lord, maybe the struggles that are there. And God, remind them again today, you're with them. They are not alone. God, give them the wisdom, your wisdom. And may they indeed see it and experience it in their life and know it clearly. God is guiding me. Thank you that we can pray. Thank you, Spirit, for sometimes we just groan. We don't know what to say, but Lord, you know what to say. Your Spirit can pray for us, and thank you for that, Lord. Help us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.